Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and we can celebrate the goodness of God's mercy with us today. It is so wonderful to welcome you to worship, whether you're in the sanctuary with us or you're worshiping with us online at home. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we are also going to be celebrating two sacraments. The sacrament of baptism in just a few moments as we baptize baby James, as well as the sacrament of Holy Communion. So if you're at home, I would invite you to take a moment to find some bread and find some juice, and we'll be sharing that holy sacrament together later in worship. Well, I'm glad you're here, and it's good to know that you are here, but we would love to know that in writing. If you take a moment to fill out that connection card, it gives us a chance to update information. It lets us know how you want to get connected into our church congregation, and it also has an opportunity to say if you want to be connected or contacted by the pastors. Go ahead and do that, and then later in worship, you can place that in the offering plate. Also, in the back of your pews there are some yellow cards, some prayer cards. We'd encourage you to fill out those prayer cards anytime you're in worship so that your church family and clergy can be holding you in prayer as well. It's a great joy to be having Claire and Kelly Myers helping lead us in worship this morning. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the songs of praise from the choir and through Susan. Looking forward to all that God has in store as we praise God and celebrate God's goodness this day. So let's do just that. Please stand and let's sing together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us lift up our hearts and voices and join in the opening prayer. Our Father, our Mother, El Shaddai, Adonai, Yahweh, Lord our God, ruler, and King of the universe, we gather to worship you. Surround us with your heavenly presence and help us to make your name holy in our lives, in our words, and in our actions. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We'll try this again. All right. Amen. Well, it is a great joy to be celebrating the sacrament of baptism today. Baptism is a celebration, a public pronouncement, a celebration that every little child born is a beautiful, beloved child of God. And today we will celebrate the baptism waters, naming and claiming baby James as one of ours, as one of God's, as a part of this great community of faith. And so we gather together in worship as you all will have a beautiful role to play in the life of James as he grows and gets older and wiser and stronger, and he grows and is a part of the church community. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is a gift given to us without a price. And so today we celebrate the baptism of James Allen Vassiloff. Proud parents, Melissa and Dave. And Melissa has grown up in this church community, gone on many ASP trips, and was part of the youth group. And so it is exciting to have her little one baptized this day. So to Melissa and Dave, I asked you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do. I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, please say, I do. And now will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and by your example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and to profess the faith openly and to lead a Christian life. If you commit to helping raise sweet James in the faith, please say, I will.
I will.
And church community, do you, as Christ's body, the church, do you also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, proudly say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the life of the Christian faith and now include James into your care as well? If so, your response is on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround James with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service to others. We will pray for them that they may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. We celebrate that day and we remember the story of our Christian faith. the faith of our fathers. We remember the story of our Christian faith. And so I would invite us to remember that together as we proclaim these statements of faith. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And church, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And church, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Oh, may the Lord be with you. We remember that water has played a significant role in the life of faith for all of our heritage. We remember the story of water. We remember that when nothing existed but chaos, God, you swept across those with the dark water and you brought forth light. And we remember the story of Noah, that in those days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water and then you set a rainbow in the skies. We remember that through the flood, you set that rainbow. We remember that God saved his people through as slaves in Egypt, and they led them through the freedom through the sea. And we remember that you brought your children through the Jordan to the land which he had promised us. Well, then in the fullness of time, water again continued to be an important symbol in the Christian faith and tradition. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus, nurtured in water of a womb. He was baptized by John, and he was anointed by the Spirit, and he called his disciples too out at the Sea of Galilee on the water. And we remember that water has played this important role. Almighty God, may you pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this water, and bless James who will receive it, that it may wash away his sin, that it may clothe him with Christ, that it might be a sign and a symbol of your righteousness and love, that dying and being raised with Christ, we may share in your final victory. He is ready. James is ready. James, do you want to come and see this beautiful water that's been placed here before you? Let's check it out. Do you see this water here? What do you think? It's pretty wet. It's pretty wet. You ready for this? This water is a sign of God's love for you. This water is a sign of grace for you. James, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Melissa and Dave, would you like to place a hand of blessing on him as well? Family can gather around if you would like. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Want to go back to Mom or Dad? Yeah. We celebrate you this day. It is a great joy to welcome him into the great family of faith and church. I would invite you to respond on the screen. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And so with joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I now commend to you, James, and to your love and your care. May you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm his hope, love him, pray for him, encourage him, be his Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school leaders, be a part of the support system from Melissa and Dave this day. And I would invite you to respond on the screen. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We celebrate and we welcome you this day with three special gifts we want to share also. One is a beautiful shawl that has been created by some in our congregation who have these beautiful skills for knitting and crocheting. And so we want to share that with you today. And also for James, as he starts to grow in the faith and will be a part of Sunday school and nursery, we want to share with you a little baby Bible. It's nice and fuzzy that he can hug, and a board book that he can chew on and really dive into God's word in an age-appropriate way. And on the altar this morning, there's a single candle that's a baptism candle for him. That next year on this day, the 6th of March, you can light that candle also. And you can remember and you can celebrate his baptism on his one-year anniversary. So we celebrate you and we welcome you this day. Church, let's respond with gratitude and faith. Amen. Amen. I'd invite you to greet the family after worship if you'd like to stick around. So welcome.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Claire, for reading the gospel lessons for us this morning. Amen. It is a great joy to be with you in worship today, to celebrate baptism, to celebrate Holy Communion in just a moment. Let's begin our time together in prayer. Will you join me? Let us pray. O holy God, creator of all life, giver of grace and mercy, through the reading of your scriptures and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may you speak to us. Bend our ears to the word this morning, the gospel lessons. Loving God, be present with us in worship this day as we seek to follow you and learn from your teachings and live them out in the world. Heavenly Father, creator of all, giver of life and love, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Open our eyes to see the beauty of your world around us, and open our hearts to love one another more fully. Open our minds to receive a word from you this day, and an open spirit to live that faith in the world. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Church, this day we're starting a new sermon series for the next 6 weeks. We're starting a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. It's called Let Us Pray. As we begin this 6-week journey towards Easter morning, we're going to spend time diving into the Lord's Prayer, looking at each line of the prayer in depth a little bit and exploring it every week for the next 6 weeks. Well, the Lord's Prayer, it's prayed in many languages around the world by millions of Christians each week. We pray it every week in Sunday worship. Maybe before you go to bed at night, you pray it with family. It's certainly prayed by the bedside as maybe people are in the hospital at a bed, or it's prayed in worship services as well as in marriage services, and even in our Sunday school classrooms with our little children. They're learning it, and the Lord's Prayer is a part of Sunday school for all ages. We pray this Lord's Prayer perhaps from when you were a young child, if you have been somebody who has worshiped for most of your life. And we start by praying these well-known words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. And I don't know about you, but it can be pretty easy to quickly gloss over these words, these well-memorized phrases. It can be very easy to gloss over that prayer and pray it very quickly because it's something you might know by heart, you might know it deeply. But the words of the Lord's Prayer, they have a deep meaning and a profound impact upon our own lives and upon the world and upon the community. And so throughout this season, we are going to be spending those 6 weeks going in depth and thinking more fully about the Lord's Prayer. Along with our sermon series on Sunday morning, if you'd like to be a part of a small group, we're studying the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and a book was written about it by Reverend Adam Hamilton. You can certainly pick up a copy in the main office or in the little table back there in the narthex. We want to dive deeply into it. And so as we begin today, I'm curious for you to ponder and remember and think back. How is it that you first learned the Lord's Prayer? And was there somebody that had a role to play in your life as you learned the Lord's Prayer? Well, I remember growing up and learning the Lord's Prayer. I attended a United Methodist church where my parents still go to the same day. And I remember sitting in pews with my parents and my brother, snacking on Cheerios and drawing and coloring books, wearing the ruffly fancy socks and the black patent shoes. And I remember lifting up my head when it was time to pray, looking around a little bit. And I remember hearing the words of the Lord's Prayer from those around me. Mom and Dad on either side, but of course the church grandmas and grandpas and the church friends and the pews nearby. I remember learning it as a young child. What's your story? How did you learn the Lord's Prayer? Well, children often learn it, and they have quite a mouthful of words to spit out. It's kind of a long prayer for a young child to learn. They have to learn words like, give us this day our daily bread. They learn, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those are big words for young people. And then there's a line, perhaps that first line of the Lord's Prayer, that's known to trip up many kids as they pray, or at least here the story goes. So here's the story. A little boy was in Sunday school when it came time for the Lord's Prayer to be prayed. The Sunday school teacher stood up in front of the class, in front of the children, and said, okay, now let us join together in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Let's pray. The children began saying, Our Father who art in heaven, and went through the whole prayer. Well, as the little boy bowed his head and he clasped his hand into a posture of prayer that he had taught and knew very well, it finally came to the end. And he gave a very proud amen. He beamed with pride. It had taken him weeks, but he had finally learned it. Well, as the students finished praying, the Sunday school teacher commended them for a job well done. The teacher knew how hard they'd worked to finally learn that prayer. Well, as the students sat in their seat, the little boy spoke up, and seemed to have a great, jolly smile on their face. And he said, I have the same name as God, he proclaimed proudly. What? Said the teacher. I have the same name as God, the little boy said again. What do you mean? What's God's name? The Sunday school teacher asked quite curiously. Howard. Howard is God's name, just like me, said the little boy. Well, how do you know God's name is Howard? The Sunday school asked very curiously. Easy. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. Well, with that, the Sunday school teacher cracked a wide smile, gave a little chuckle, and perhaps Howard is God's name. It's good for us to open up Scripture, to open up Luke's Gospel, and open up Matthew's Gospel, where those prayers come from, to dive deeply and explore perhaps Howard is God's name. It could be one name for God, but in the context of the Lord's Prayer, if we open it up, study it from what Claire read for us, we discover perhaps those words weren't heard quite clearly, although it is pretty cute to think that God's name is Howard. There's many names for God, many names that bring forth different significance or meaning to illustrate different character of God, but yet there isn't quite just one name entirely that can capture all of who God is. We know God as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know God as Yahweh, or the Holy One, the Great I Am. We certainly know God as Creator, God as Loving. We know God as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, as we think about the Trinity, about God the Father, Creator, and Jesus, the Redeeming, and the one that to redeem us, and the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer. And we also know God as Father. Maybe you noticed this morning in the opening prayer that Kelly led us with, there was a variety of names for God that were used. Perhaps those are just some names that you know. Well, we discover the names for God, of course, one of them being Father. That's in that first line of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. You know, Father's just one name that we can use for God, one image of who God is, and one image of who God seeks to be in our lives. And I remember those days of seminary, it feels like a long time ago now, where we were exploring a variety of names for God. I remember those days and sitting in confirmation classes with students and exploring a variety of names for God. You can open scripture and find lots of names, or open the hymnal and thumb through and find lots of names. Well, I remember those days of seminary where we'd study passages in depth and we're deconstructing theology and seeking to understand faith from a variety of angles. And I remember having several conversations with seminary colleagues who felt actually uncomfortable using the name Father as the only reference to God. And while at the same time, I remember other seminary colleagues having great comfort in calling God Father. So why this comfort and why this discomfort amongst people? Well, I came to learn over cups of coffee with scripture wide open and theological textbooks explored out all over the studying carols there at the seminary, stories were sometimes shared about less than favorable memories of their fathers, earthly fathers, their dads. So using images of God as Father for some people sometimes brings up feelings of difficult memories or wounds or challenges. You know, it's amazing how different names of God can stir up a variety of things and a variety of feelings within us. Perhaps why we need to use more than just one name for God. From this first chapter, if you'll follow along and you'd like to pick up a book, and this first chapter this week in our Lenten study, the author, Adam Hamilton, wrote this. He said, God is Father. God is Father to you in a way that your earthly father may never have been. So he's talking about how for Father for some is comforting, and Father yet for others, he's helping us lean into maybe that's not so helpful for others. He says, God is Father to you in a way that your earthly father maybe never has been. And at the same time, it may be more helpful for you to imagine God as nurturing and maybe as a tender mother, for God is surely that too. Or maybe even more broadly, to think of God as our parent. Well, however you imagine God, all of these different names for God, however you prefer to think about God in that image, we certainly use our Father as one. But perhaps as we're praying our way through the series for the next 6 weeks, maybe you'll use our Father and that's the language that you use. Or maybe you'll try exploring the prayer and use our Creator. Or maybe you'll pray the prayer saying Almighty God or Loving God and embrace a variety of names for God. For surely there's a multitude of names and not always one can necessarily capture and captivate who God is. For God sometimes is well beyond our understanding. God is so great and vast, far wider than the number of stars in the sky or grains of sand on the earth. And so perhaps this time in the season of Lent, we can explore a variety of names and understanding for who God is, while at the same time holding tight and knowing that God is our Heavenly Father and that God does deeply seek after a personal relationship with us and does want to know us and does call us by name and is fully present in our lives, maybe in a way that you haven't been able to experience with your earthly dad. Our Father, who art in heaven. Those really can be beautiful words to the prayer. Well, in that first line, we also pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not necessarily Howard be thy name, right? So to hallow God's name, what is that all about? If we're not calling God Howard, what's that all about? What does it mean to hallow God's name? Well, it's to make God's name holy. Another way of saying it is Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Sacred and beautiful and precious, holy is God's name. And to pause and to take that in. As the choir was singing this morning, I wasn't aware of what choir anthem you all were singing. It was just like right on cue. Thank you. I was reminded of hymn number 64 in our Methodist hymnal, and I was reminded of the language that we were literally calling God holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's like this divine thing just took place. Thank you for singing that song today. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. We sing that, holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That song that the choir, the anthem the choir sang, or if you crack open hymn number 64 in the hymnal, we're talking about God's holy presence, God's nature, God's divine sacred presence always with us. And so when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, when we seek to praise God's name, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, sacred is your name, beautiful is your name. We seek to make God's name holy, not only in the songs that we sing or the choir anthems that we hear, but we also seek to make God's name holy in the world each and every day. So, church, how can we do that? How can we be about that work of making God's name holy in this world? How can we be a witness of God in the world this day? How can we praise God and be a living testimony of who God is? What might our actions do? What might our behavior look like if we're seeking to praise God and make God's name holy in the world today? I think that's a homework assignment for us to think about this week. How can we hallow and make God's name holy this day? The second gospel reading that Claire read for us was from the Gospel of Luke, and she read 10 verses of it. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and then he added on a little story at the very end. Picking up at verse 5, he said, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.' A friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. Will they answer, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything?' Why, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because he is persistent, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, that door will be opened." Jesus adds on this little story, this illustration of knocking and seeking and finding. He adds on this story of an opportunity to extend 3 loaves of bread to somebody in need. They'd rather not be bothered. But we get an image here of an opportunity. Perhaps through this scripture, we see an opportunity to hallow God's name. Perhaps from this scripture, we see an opportunity to make God's name holy, to make choices through our actions in the world and through our relationships with one another to praise God, to witness to God's goodness, to be a light in the world. They have an opportunity in this scripture, when the door is knocked on, for us to open wide and to share those 3 loaves of bread, to be a part of making God's name holy in this world and being that living witness. So, church, I'm curious how you will take an opportunity this week to make God's name holy. I'm curious how you this week will be a living witness and a living testimony to the gospel of Christ. I'm curious how you will pray, "Our Father," or "Our Creator," or "Our Amazing God, Holy is Your Name." How will you witness to Christ this week? How will you live the gospel this week? How will, through your actions and your behavior and hearing those knocks on the door, will you open it wide and reach out to somebody in need? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you this day, and we give you thanks that you are the Lord of life, the giver of all good gifts. God, we know you in so many names, and perhaps we could even add to the list that your name is also Howard, but we can giggle at that thought, and yet we know and we celebrate that as children learn these words, and they come to make them their own, we celebrate that. Through it's a journey of faith, a journey of discovery, a journey of digging deep into this prayer to pull it apart and understand more fully what it means. Loving God, as we take this opportunity over the next several weeks to study your scripture, help us to pray the prayer slowly, to soak into its meaning, and today, this day, to look for opportunities to make your name holy, to praise your name, and to give you thanks. Loving God, be with us in this time of worship. Loving God, be with us. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us and mold us, fill us and use us as your hands and feet. This morning, God, we lift up to you two people that are receiving prayer quilts. We remember Jane, who is grandmother of Megan Calvin, and we remember Stephanie Nikoff. Oh, loving God, may you be with these women, and may you wrap them in your warm embrace. As they feel the warm embrace of these prayer quilts, may they be surrounded by your loving care. May they be reminded of a church community that walks with them on this journey. God, you who know us and call us by name. God, we take a moment to quietly lift up our own prayers of praise, our own prayers of intercession as we call out to you this day. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Loving God, we thank you for keeping our lives always in your care and in your protection. And we pray for any and all who are in harm's way, for those who walk in the midst of danger, for those who are treading slippery paths, for those exhausted and seeking relief, for those whose face worry and debt and concern an obstacle. Loving God, be guardian and guide, we pray. Set all our feet on the path of righteousness and peace. Loving God, we pray for those who are struggling with a new challenge or a call, with a transition in life or in livelihood. We pray for those who are struggling with faith or seeking understanding, who are knowing grief. Lord, keep them in your tender care and mercy. Heavenly Father, be with those who are sick, through body or mind or spirit, those who are weighed down by pain or grief or depression or hardship, those recuperating from surgery or accident. Heavenly Father, be with them this day. Protect not only those of us gathered here and those we love, but also the whole wide world that you so love. In places of war, Lord, bring peace. In places of natural disaster, bring calm and restoration. Where there is unrest and injustice, make justice our aim. Where there is lack of hope, Lord, help us to embody hope and be your living presence of hope in this world. You, God, who know us and claim us and call us your beloved, we pray these things and we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We gather around the communion table this morning to celebrate another means of encountering and knowing God's grace. Through the waters of baptism, we are marked and claimed and known as God's beloved. And as we gather at the communion table, we are sustained for the journey of faith. We receive the bread of life when we receive the cup of grace. And so I invite you this morning to come to the table to receive the bread, to receive the juice, whether you're in the sanctuary or you're at home worshiping with us. The table is open to everyone, not just United Methodists, but the table is open to all. All who seek to know God, all who are curious about God's grace, all who are part of this journey of faith, we welcome you to the table this day. And as we gather at the table, we remember. We remember that on the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, that he took bread and he gave it to his disciples and he blessed it and he told them to take, for this is his body to be broken for them. We are to eat in remembrance of him. With those 12 disciples gathered nearby, they ate and they dined, and then Jesus took a cup when the supper was over, and again he gave thanks to God for it, bless it, and he gave it to the disciples, telling them to drink of this. This is not just wine. This is not just grape juice in our case. Why, this is a new covenant that he was making with us. A new covenant. A new covenant of water that we receive in baptism, a new covenant of grace as we receive from the cup of grace, the cup of healing, the cup of joy for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we do this. We gather at the table this day and we remember and we celebrate these mighty acts in Jesus Christ. And in response, we offer our lives back to God, that we might be a living witness to God and for God in this world, that we might seek to make God's name holy through our actions and our choices and the way we and our encounter with our neighbor, that we might seek to live as God's people, knowing that we have a heavenly Father that loves us unconditionally. Let's pray. May you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. In a moment, the ushers will be inviting you to come forward. They'll be dismissing the rows from the back to the front. And as you're invited to come forward, Kelly and Claire will be standing towards the front with baskets of communion elements. Inside, there is a small piece of bread and a cup of juice. I'd invite you to take the bag and return to your seat. When everybody is seated, we will then partake of the communion elements together. Won't you come forward at the direction of the ushers? And I also want to share, Kelly and Claire will be sharing the elements that have regular bread. I'll be holding the gluten-free elements for those that need gluten-free. Body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Trash cans will be available at the back as you leave worship today. Holy God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery that in it we meet you and we encounter you at this table. Sustain us and fill us. Use us as your hands and feet, that nourished and filled we might go forth in the world to make your name holy, to live your holy presence in this world, Heavenly Father. We thank you and we praise you this day. Amen. I would invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us to receive our tithes and our offerings, to give generously. There are great things happening in this church. On Sunday evenings, youth are gathering over in the well for youth group, for opening up the scriptures, for enjoying some fun and some games, for growing together. During the weekday, people are studying in small group Bible studies, opening God's word and learning together. On Saturdays, people are going down to CAS to be a part of serving. We can come to worship on Sunday mornings and be encouraged by songs of praise and prayers and words of scripture. God is doing great things in this place, and I would invite you to be a part of that through your time, your talents, as well as your financial gifts. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Holy Father, you have shown us that faith is meant to be lived in community. Help us to grow this community of faith through the offerings we humbly give. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to share three announcements with you before we leave worship. First is, as you came into the sanctuary today, you maybe noticed a table of books. Those are some free books that the Adult Discipleship Committee invites you to look through and enjoy. Take it, share, get one for a friend, take it, enjoy it. We're not expecting it back, but please use those resources as a way to grow in your faith throughout this season of Lent. And then as you checked out the books, head on up the ramp or up the little stairs into the chapel just behind the community room there, and you're going to find a variety of wonderful creative prayer stations. You're going to really want to spend some time diving into those prayer stations. They're going to be set up all through Lent, all through Easter. When our buildings open, come on in and explore these creative prayer practices. And then the last announcement is a week from today, Sunday, March 13th at 5:15, the Adult Discipleship Committee is inviting you to a Taze worship service. It's a contemplative style of prayer and worship, lots of candlelight, and for many, it's a new experience. So you're going to want to come and check it out. I hope you're curious. Join us for Taze worship. Church, may we go forth from this time of worship ready to praise and give honor to our Heavenly Father, ready to hallow God's name. May we look for opportunities to make God's name holy in this world through our actions, through our choices, through our relationships. May we go forth and spread God's love this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.